翻工、翻学、考试、放榜。
咦，阿歪，你坐喺度做咩啊？你唔开心啊？得，你等我一阵。
It's certainly not the West, but it's not exactly the East. It's the former Crown Colony, the Special Administrative Region. It's one nation, two systems. Yes, it's that island on the Tropic of Cancer, that dot on the Earth, where East meets West. This is Hong Kong, an audio postcard. This is Glenn Zuckman in Hong Kong. I'm standing about 50 feet in front of the Hong Kong Convention and Exposition Center, about 50 feet north of the Convention Center and about 9,000 miles west of Los Angeles. 9,000 miles yet still on the shores of the seemingly endless Pacific Ocean. Stanley Wong, the artist representing Hong Kong at this summer's Venice Biennale, has turned out to be a sort of ground zero for Hong Kong, an audio postcard. So we should probably get this postcard rolling by heading down to the Starbucks in Causeway Bay and having a morning coffee with him. But to get there, I really want to take you on the whole trip from the apartment in Toon Moon all the way down to the Starbucks in Causeway Bay. And to take that trip, I really have to tell you a little about the geography of Hong Kong. And to do that, I have to tell you a little about the history of Hong Kong. So why don't we get rolling already, and we can talk while we go. Let's swipe our octopus cards, hop on the bus, transfer to the MTR Metro Rail, head down the Kowloon Peninsula, shoot the tube as the train goes from Kowloon under Victoria Harbor into Hong Kong Station, and finally over to Causeway Bay. On our way, we'll talk a little history, a little geography, a little colonialism, a little freedom, a lot of opium, a little about Stanley Wong's art, and, of course, we'll hang out with the subway lady. It's 7:07 in the morning, and I'm walking out the front door of Tower 16, Floor 26, Apartment D, into the humid hallway. Locking the door, hitting the button, waiting forever for the elevator. This building has no 4th, 13th, 14th, or 24th floor because, for example, in Cantonese, 14 means definitely dies. Here comes the elevator now. Okay, gonna say hello to the door guy and be out on the street in a moment. Elevator door's opening. Hello. Out on the street, it's not too hot and humid at 7:09 in the morning. I'm sure it will be soon enough. And walking out of the complex to wait for the 1:40 a.m. bus. I'm on my way to interview Stanley Wong, creative director and artist. I'm going to take the 1:40 a.m. for about 20 minutes to Tsing Yi, where I'll hop on the MTR, the Metro Rail, to the Hong Kong Station, and from there I'll walk underground from the Hong Kong to the Connected Central Station to grab another subway line for just 3 exits, and then come out of the subway and walk a few blocks to Starbucks where we're meeting. You hear a little bit of the cicadas out this morning. I'm approaching the property gate and then I'll cross the street to the bus stop. We'll get to hear the walk, don't walk sound sensors. We have a few of these in LA, but it seems like here in Hong Kong, they're everywhere. Every street corner has them. Now I'm at the stop for the 140M. I've never ridden it this early in the morning. It's a small bus, has 16 seats, and does not allow standing. So I've always gotten on the bus before, but I understand at this hour of the morning it may be full, so I may have to wait a few 140Ms. We'll find out. It's now 7:13. Here's the 61M and the K57. And the 1016. And something else. And the 962B. Okay, so geography and opium and freedom and all that. China's SAR, Special Administrative Region, Hong Kong, consists of Hong Kong Island and over 260 other mostly tiny islands. Hong Kong is those islands plus the Kowloon Peninsula to the north and the new territories north and west of Kowloon. Archaeological evidence indicates settlements in Hong Kong as early as 6,000 years ago. And to be sure, a lot happened in the next 6,000 years. Fishing and farming and pirates and all of that. But let's jump straight to the opium, why don't we? The Portuguese arrived in Macau in 1557, and about 300 years later, the British seized Hong Kong Island. The thing was, the West wanted tea and silk and stuff from China, but China didn't really want much of anything from the West. This would be where the opium comes in. There was a big demand for opium in China, but it was illegal and not much grown. In 1773, the British brought about 70,000 kilograms of opium to China. The poppy fields in India gave the British a virtually unlimited supply of opium. I've just gotten off the 140M at Tsinyi. It's 7:43, and I'm heading over to the metro. Just swiped my octopus card at the turnstile. Unhappy with both the financial and the health costs of the opium trade, in 1839, the emperor in Peking, now Beijing, sent a governor to Canton to end the opium trade. Dot, dot, dot. as a result of the First Opium War, on the 26th of January, 1841, British Marines led by Charles Elliot planted the Union flag on Hong Kong Island and claimed the island for the British Crown. The 1842 Treaty of Nanking ceded Hong Kong Island to Britain in perpetuity. In 1843, Hong Kong became a British Crown colony. By 1850, Britain was exporting 52,000 chests of opium a year to China through the colony. 2nd Opium War in 1860, the Convention of Peking ceded the southern part of the Kowloon Peninsula to Britain, also in perpetuity. Hong Kong was soon handling about a third of China's foreign trade, and as today, Hong Kong was a broker in people and goods. Out of the Sino-Japanese War, on the 1st of July, 1898, China leased the new territories to Britain for 99 years. In that 1898 moment, 99 years probably seemed indistinguishable from eternity. But there are timescales larger than our personal ones, and as time passed, it became increasingly clear that Hong Kong Island and the Kowloon Peninsula couldn't make a viable entity without the resources of the new territories.
下一站南昌, 乘客可以轉乘九廣西鐵, 左邊的車門將會打開, 下一站南昌。 乘客可以换乘九广西铁，左边的车门将会打开。
Next station, Namcheong. Interchange station for KCR West Rail. Doors will open on the left.
Without realizing it, the British, in their victory, had signed a treaty that ultimately became a timetable for the return of all of Hong Kong to China. In 1984, Britain agreed to do exactly that. And with 1989's Tiananmen Square massacre in Beijing, Hong Kongers felt that they'd been sold out. The Hang Seng Index dropped 22% the following Monday. Told to consider themselves British for a century and a half, Hong Kong Chinese who'd given up their Chinese nationality when they fled to Hong Kong found themselves effectively stateless. Still, Hong Kong remained the busiest container port in the world, with over half of all Chinese exports passing through Hong Kong. Residents enjoyed full employment and earned a per capita income better than the UK and only slightly behind the US. In 1999, Portugal returned Macau to China, and at midnight on the 30th of June, 1997, with all of Hong Kong awake and watching on television, Prince Charles showed up in Hong Kong, shook hands with Jiang Zemin, and sailed away.
车站入闸后及车厢内严禁饮食。车站入闸后和车厢里严禁进食。
Eating or drinking is not allowed on trains or in the paid areas of stations.
下一站九龙,
next station, Kowloon.
Beijing promised to let Hong Kong be Hong Kong, to keep its legal and capitalistic system, to have, as Deng Xiaoping put it, one country, two systems, for the next 50 years. Today, Hong Kong is Hong Kong Island, north across Victoria Harbor, the Kowloon Peninsula, and north and west of Kowloon, the New Territories. Hong Kong's 7 million residents worry a little about 2047, but mostly they seem to worry about being as industrious as possible today.
请勿靠近车门, 请不要靠近车门。
Please stand back from the doors.
Meanwhile, over on Macau, you can't escape noticing that just as Las Vegas has, over the years, built New York and Paris and Cairo and the world in Las Vegas, that now, and all at once, they're building Las Vegas and volcanoes and coliseums and lots of casinos and the world in Macau. Whether Hong Kong will be more like China or China more like Hong Kong in 2047 remains to be seen.
下一站, 香港, 乘客可以转乘港岛线, 或荃湾线, 下一站, 香港, 乘客可以换乘港岛线, 或荃湾线,
Next station, Hong Kong. Interchange station for the Island Line and Tsuen Wan Line. Hong Kong, end of the Tung Chung line. Thank you for traveling on the MTR.
It's 8:08 in the morning. I have not been through this terminal at this early an hour before, and this almost airplane-sized hangar walkway between Hong Kong and Central Station is just solid humans, a big wave moving between the two terminals.
Next station, Wan Chai.
So, Stanley Wong. Stanley Wong, alias Another Mountain Man, was born in Hong Kong in 1960. In 1980, he graduated from Hong Kong Technical Teachers College. He worked as a graphic designer for 5 years and then entered the advertising industry. He's been a creative director in London, Hong Kong, and Singapore, and CEO and executive creative director at TBWA Hong Kong. He's won over 300 local and international design and advertising awards. Meanwhile, Stanley, or his alter ego, Another Mountain Man, has built up an extensive resume of fine art exhibitions, most notably representing Hong Kong at this summer's Venice Biennale. He's been fascinated for 15 years or so by this woven plastic sheeting, often referred to as red, white, and blue, though it can actually come in many colors. He sees the stuff as an icon of Hong Kong and its people.
Please stand back from the doors. Please mind the gap. Please mind the gap. 下一站铜锣湾，左边的车门将会打开。下一站铜锣湾，左边的车门将会打开。Next station, Causeway Bay. Doors will open on the left.
Okay, I'm through the turnstile at Causeway Bay and going to go down Lee Garden Road to find Starbucks and meet with Stanley Wong. Okay, 20th of July 2005. This is Glenn Zuckman at Starbucks in Causeway Bay, Hong Kong, here with artist Stanley Wong.For the past 20 years, Stanley Wong has been an advertising creative director at agencies including J. Walter Thompson and TBWA. He's worked in Hong Kong, Singapore, and London, and is the recipient of over 300 awards in graphic design and local and international advertising. In 2002, Stanley and a partner started 321 Film Production Limited, specializing in advertising film production.He is also an extensively exhibiting visual artist. In 2005, MCCM Creations published his book, Red, White, Blue, Here, There, Everywhere. Also this year, he is representing Hong Kong at the Venice Biennale. Stanley Wong, welcome to Strange Angels.
Hello.
Well, before we talk about your book, Red, White, Blue, we should probably talk about the stuff, Red, White, Blue. Can you explain what that material is?
Okay. Everyone finds that material is made in Asia. I think even U.S. kind of my friends, they do this from Asia. But it's actually invented in Japan. It's in 60. So the original color is not this red, white, blue stripes. It's purely in the white clay.A striking blue color. Actually, you can still find it in Japan in construction site. So the technologies moved to Taiwan right after that. So all the material we can buy in Hong Kong actually is mainly from Taiwan imported. But everyone asked me why immediately changed to that three colors. I can't answer you.
Does it have anything to do with the UK in some way, or?
I have no idea. French said it's a French fad, and then US said it's some relation, and UK, of course, they would say there's kind of something behind them. But I don't think so. I think maybe it's from Taiwan fad, all these three colors.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was fortunate the first day I was here in Hong Kong to wander into the Panic bookstore, and my eye went immediately to your book because it's covered in this red, white, blue blue plastic material. And I saw printed on the side red, white, blue, and I guess being an American, I thought, oh, it's something about the about our flag.
Yes, I think every Western people or overseas people will think us must be some kind of relation or kind of empathy.
So what the material is it's a really low-cost plastic sort of sheeting that comes in these huge sheets.
The chemical name called PE is polyethylene. Yeah, I think they're kind of really tough material. Of course, it's low cost. That's why in Hong Kong, we use a lot for the construction site to start with. When the building is kind of pull down or build another new building, they will cover the whole building. And then, because it's tough, at the end we'll produce from this material to a shopping bag. That's a lot of people carry this to back to hometown mainland China or migrated to overseas to a lot of different friends. Like that's how it goes to US or go to Europe.
So the two places that you still see it are on these buildings, these tall towers, and as you say, shopping bags. And I guess you had seen it in Hong Kong for a long time, but it was actually when you saw a bag in London that it first sort of really registered for you?
I think because it's a really mundane kind of a day-to-day things, no one put an eye on it. It's just, yes, they're really user-friendly, they're cheap, they're tough. We can use them in a different way. So I think no one really looked at it. Until one day, I think it's 1989, when I was in London working there for a month. So I found this cheap cost shopping bag, which is put in a boutique in Soho area. I just look at it, I think, how come? It's really just a cheap shopping bag. Then the UK people find it's really funky, really trendy, and really different, and put it in the boutique store to sell it. So I think that I got a big impact. I still remember that moment that, yes, I think local insight, there's a really local kind of a cultural elements is really useful for creative people. At the end, I put an eye on anything that is related to Hong Kong when I'm back here.
And in the 15, 16 years since you saw that bag in London, you've come to think of the red, white, and blue material as sort of an icon of Hong Kong.
At that point, I don't really relate it that far. I think I just back here, when I do advertising, when I do any my personal creative, I just put an eye on those local elements. So at the end, I use a lot of different local elements. Of course, red, white, blue, this traffic, I just keep looking on them. At the end, I shooting pictures everywhere, that wherever they are, okay, whatever way they perform in Hong Kong. So more and more I look into them. There's a lot of stories behind them. I just find it so emotional. One, they are tough. They work until they die. And they just there. They just play a part for the society. So I think that is kind of, I like to see everyone in Hong Kong as a citizen, as a person, will be like that. So that's kind of, I put a kind of relation, that's an ideal Hong Kong that I try to put, that's kind of spirit of Hong Kong.
They're tough and they work till they die. you know, it was wonderful for me finding your book my first day here, because now that I've been wandering around Hong Kong, you see red, white, and blue, as you say, in shopping bags around buildings, but also you just see a little tiny strip of it dangling from a pole somewhere, and it really is sort of everywhere.
Yeah, I think it's everywhere. You walk down to the street then in Hong Kong, I think you can't get away from red, white, blue. It's just everywhere, yeah.
Your book is sort of dedicated to all those Hong Kongers who have given their hearts and souls to their city. Can you talk about that dedication?
So as I just said, that's how the synergy, the association, I get. If I see more red, white, blue, I think that's the ideal Hong Kong I really wish to see. Because, you know, when I born in the 60s, that's how 60s and 70s, Hong Kong is blooming from a little village, become an international city. So everyone is working hard. I just say, work until we die. And we just contribute, everyone just motivated ourselves. So I like to see it happen again, because you know the Hong Kong society now, after the handover, then the economy is not good, everyone not trust the government board. So I think from year 2000, so I started a topic as my personal work, it's called Building Hong Kong. I just want to promote or encourage people to have more positive kind of energy or attitude towards our city. No matter it's in installation, cultural poster, this different form, just want to use this material to just tell people, hey, how come we just too negative now? So we just should be more work together and see the our society or our city like the 60 and 70 again.
I was thinking about the years of your life, and you were born in a British Crown colony, you grew up in a British territory, you live today in a Chinese special administrative region. I guess you can't speak for all of Hong Kong, but at least for yourself, what future would you like to see for Hong Kong?
I like to see we are working together again, we talk to each other again, we just put ourselves down, just pay a part to the society before how much money I can gain, how big is the house I live. I think that is, of course, everyone gained this part from the 1780, but I think we just look at the whole city first. That's how I like everyone should put an eye on this.
So working together again, not worrying so much about money, those are kind of values that are in a way opposed to being an advertising creative director, aren't they?
That's why I got two names. everyone knows Stanley Wong is advertising, a graphic commercial kind of Stanley Wong. I think start from 16 years ago, I got another name called Another Mountain Man. So whatever my ideal kind of work, my personal work happened, I will sign off from that. So I live like a two life here.
So the fine art is by Another Mountain Man.
Yes, that's how I put myself.
And what does Another Mountain Man think of Stanley Wong?
everyone got to earn a living, okay. So why? I contribute my creativity, I get a living, I carry my life going on. I think that's life. So they got to face the reality on one side.
And now you're this year representing Hong Kong at the Venice Biennale. Tell me about that installation.
Yes, this is a great honor. It's a big competition in Hong Kong in the art scene. So at the end, my curator Sabina Fung, and also she proposed two artists from Hong Kong. One is me, another one is a professor from Hong Kong Fine Art, Chinese University from Fine Art, that he called Kurt Chen. So three of us go to Venice this year. So two pieces of work from Kurt and me. So my piece of work is also installation of the Red Right Bull. It's a tea house. It's a big, huge tea house. Put it on the side of the river. Yeah.
So I was wondering, when you do installations here in Hong Kong, they're in the context of the red, white, and blue, which is everywhere. When you do this installation in Venice, what do you expect the viewers in Venice to take away from your installation?
Okay, the background of my tea house is basically when Marco Polo came to China.
Okay.
Something he didn't bring it back, according to the record of the book. Great Wall he didn't record, I don't know why. Another one is the tea. It's just a Chinese tea that he didn't really bring back to Italy. So I might as well, after 800 years now, I bring the tea officially there. So I start a tea house there. So more I think about the tea house, I think just like people to kind of a face-to-face relation. So because now it's a computer age, everyone's computer kind of communication really distorted. ICQ, email, or SMS from the phone. Not really physically eye-to-eye kind of talking to each other. So that's a topic I like people to just to think what life should be in terms of communication. Of course, another hidden meaning is about our Hong Kong society. It's not talking at all from people to people, from the government level, from the layman level. That's another point. So I want to bring the Hong Kong issue at the same time to there.
As you mentioned, sort of representing your country at the Venice Biennale is sort of every artist's dream. Tell me about going to Venice and what that experience there was like.
Actually, this is my first time in Venice. Of course, the first time in the art show. It's a huge art show there. So my learning is, no matter my work is, a lot of people like our pavilion anyway, but it's really great to hear that. But beyond that, I think meet more people and see more artwork from different culture kind of angle. I think that's a really big learning for me to how I should carry out myself another stage after this.
What did you see there? Was there art that you liked?
Yes, some very impressive kind of a pavilion is there, like Japan. It's just one artist, one series of photo of her, actually it's a female artist, from her passed away mother, kind of belongings, so emotional. So there's a lot of interesting thing. Of course, some may not be good and to the other one.
So meanwhile, back in Hong Kong, tell me about 1997. Was that a big deal? Was it anticlimactic?
It's a big deal. it's a long way that how we shape ourselves, because we have our new CEO, although it's an acting CEO for 2 years. So I really look forward to can we come back. Just like I just put up a new work sponsored by a commercial kind of a retail store. I put a destination, I put a lot of bus pole, talk about destination along the street, talk about our future. That's just put it up for 2-3 weeks outside the street at the moment.
And then meanwhile, switching from another mountain man back to Stanley Wong, so it's been 3 years since you started 321 Film Production Limited.
Yeah.
And tell me about that. You've been 20 years a creative director and now out on your own.
I think everyone asked me, "Oh, Stanley, do you get any satisfaction being a TV commercial director?" I said, "No, definitely no," because I think the glory or the credit should be put to advertising creative first. I think, of course, everyone asked me, "So why you did that then?" So I think I like to move myself to feature film industry at the end. So I got to one step ahead to myself, that learn more about filming. That's why I into TV commercial film industry at the moment. So at the end, I want to learn more to do my feature film.
So then forming 321 Film Production Limited is a step between advertising work and feature work.
Oh yes, you can say it like that, yeah. Definitely it's my dream.
And so what do you have a vision for the future? So you're still gonna be doing some Red, White, and Blue, but also longer form film?
I think if Hong Kong is not come to the day that everyone happy, everyone's being strong, be proud of self. I think the building Hong Kong topic I will carry on. That's my personal kind of dream, although it may not come easy. I will carry on to earn a living using my Stanley Wong status, and hopefully I can make my feature film for my kind of ideal kind of top message again.
Tell me about 2047. What do you think? What do you think Hong Kong will be like then?
Deng Xiaoping promised us that it will remain unchanged. Okay, that's always this one message on my cultural poster that I will remind everyone, remind the board of China government that the past CEO, the chairman promised us. Also, if I'm not thinking positively, it won't happen. I just want everyone to think positive. A lot of hurdles, of course, a lot of difficulty being man is man. So I hope it will happen.
Do you think Hong Kong is becoming more like China, or is China becoming more like Hong Kong?
Definitely China should be more like, Hong Kong should be more like China, because I think actually it's a big competition in between different cities in China now. Shanghai is blooming. They're working very hard. A lot of talented people there in different industry. I think, of course, we got kind of international status from 20 to 30 years ago, but somehow they will catch up, somehow they will take over us. If not, we are not working hard to be more competitive.
So I know the East meets West description is kind of a cliche, but is Hong Kong a unique city in that way, unlike any other city?
Yes, in a way. I think so far this kind of chemistry is still working for a lot of different overseas kind of city or different people. At the end, I think if say 100% nowadays more than Chinese, I think it will be the trend, I would say. Not necessarily, it's got to be mixed with the West, but it's got to be contemporary Chinese is the way I would think it should be the future.
So you've made an awful lot of trips to London as a creative director. Can you sort of compare and contrast London and Hong Kong?
Hong Kong is from England. Actually, we are like the sun bit from UK. I mean, of course, you're talking about before the handover. Somehow, London give me a lot that in cultural way, in the language, and also the style of the people, because we work with a lot of British people when they were here.
Has their presence really diminished since 97?
Not necessarily, because it's a little bit of kind of pays down their profile or their presence here. But I think there's still a lot of UK influence here. A lot of UK people still around as our friends.
Stanley Wong, thanks for visiting Strange Angels.
Thank you.